Welcome. This is the Moms Are Not Alright podcast. I hope you have been enjoying the weekly episodes, but if this is your first time listening, thanks for being here. I'm a mom talking about a variety of topics that I find myself experiencing or thinking about in my everyday life that I think it might be beneficial to put out into the world. I skipped posting last week because my family was in Disney for the first time, and I did not expect how completely drained I ended up being. And we were at the parks like all day from open to close, so I underestimated how much time I was going to have. I thought for sure my youngest would tap out, but he was such a trooper. So thank you for your patience. I really hated breaking that commitment, but I'm always busy and always trying to do things, and sometimes things fall through the cracks. So thanks for coming back. And today's topic is about alcohol. If this is a triggering topic for you, please skip this week's episode. If you find yourself thinking like, well, I don't have a drinking problem, this episode doesn't relate to me, I would challenge you to listen to it because maybe you know a family member who struggles and it might help you understand them a little bit more, hopefully. I'll talk about why I don't drink alcohol anymore, the effects alcohol has on your brain and body, what can cause you to be more susceptible to drinking problems, why this time was different than the last attempts, some things that helped me stay alcohol-free when I first stopped drinking, and what changes I noticed and what struggles I still have over a year later. I was debating making this an episode topic because it can be emotional, and I know when I was still drinking, I would get defensive when listening to people talk bad about alcohol, and I'd like list out things in my head as to why I'm totally fine drinking alcohol. I would think, well, I have a job and family. I don't drink every day. I don't get drunk every time. But I think this subject is important to talk about because millions of people die every year due to causes directly related to alcohol abuse and alcoholism and alcohol use disorder. And I found out recently through a friend who is a nurse practitioner that alcohol actually negatively affects women more than men. It takes women less time and less alcohol to have greater harm done to their organs. And my audience is mostly women, so I thought maybe it would be beneficial to share. And once I figure out how to record episodes with other people, I want to have her on because I feel like she would have such great insight as to what she sees every day at work. More to come on that. But the entire goal of my podcast is to inspire people for the better and put my thoughts and experiences into the world so someone listening to it feels less weird about whatever they're going through and hopefully feel a little more normal after listening at my expense. I made a 1-year alcohol-free post on my Facebook around Christmas, and just the other day got a message 2 months later from someone who said the post inspired them and they were excited to tell me about their attempts at giving up alcohol and how they created a bit of a ripple effect in their circle of people too. And those kinds of things really does inspire me to keep going and doing what I'm doing and just keeps me focused on bettering the planet that my kids and grandkids will inhabit without me one day. So shout out to Kirsten for sharing that with me. But before I get into it, I want to shout out to other listeners, my cousin Will and my friend Peter. They are not parents, but every week they tune in and DM me with such interesting perspectives, and they seem to be able to relate to certain things in each episode so far, and that has been kind of eye-opening to me. Like, these millennial uncles can listen to this podcast geared towards moms and find things interesting and relatable, and I wasn't really expecting that. So shout out Peter and Will. Thanks for your support. It means so much to me, and I always look forward to your DMs after the episodes air. So just diving right in, I was a late bloomer to alcohol. I didn't drink in high school at all, and no one ever really drank alcohol around me at all. Then when I was 19-ish, I had just started working at a restaurant and going to college, and alcohol started to enter my world just due to the environment I was in now. My first time drinking, I went to a party with my friends. My siblings were there too. It was in a garage, and everyone there was like not drinking casually or socially or just to take the edge off. Everyone there was drinking to get wasted. And that kind of became my idea of parties and drinking. Like, it felt normal and like expected that if you go to a party, you drink until you're super drunk, then you stumble around to get food with your friends. You stay up all night till the sun comes up. Then you talk about all the ridiculous stuff you did and said, and it was a great time. Like, to me, that's what drinking was. And working in a restaurant only enabled this way of existing. I would work later because I was going to school during the day, and everyone goes out for drinks after work, and there are a lot of drugs in the restaurant industry. And that was just kind of my world during this like exploration growing up young adult time in my life. Everyone around me kind of did it, and I viewed it as a thing, like just a thing people do, and I didn't really see any big issues with me doing it too. And then I got pregnant, so all that came to a screeching halt. Some of my favorite memories are those drunk nights with friends. Like, I still get flashbacks sometimes, and some memories make me laugh and think if I had the chance to relive some of those nights, I 100% would. But other times I'm cringing at the thought of the things I did and said and how I acted. It's so embarrassing. You can't see it, but I'm like covering my face with my hands and I want to like hide thinking about it, even though I'm in my room alone. Having a baby was probably a real blessing in disguise for me because it forced me to slow my roll. And I honestly don't even know if I would be alive today if I didn't have like an outside force putting that fire out. Being sober when pregnant seemed like a non-issue to me at that point. I didn't drink at home. It was strictly social at that point in my life. And after work, I would be way too tired to go out, and my feet would hurt from walking around a lot. So I would go home after work instead of out with friends. Once I had a baby, I still drank and went out with friends, not as much as before, but I still had the same friends, the same workplace, so I kind of fell back into the same tendencies. I would be hungover and home with a baby, which sounds like actual hell to me at this point, but being hungover at 21 and being hungover at 31 is a whole different experience. Like, I could still work and semi-function hungover at 21, whereas 31, I need like 3 days of bed rest to just get to a point where I can eat normally again. I've always been a problematic drinker. I never saw anyone model drinking normally. It was always just such extremes, like either binge drinking at parties or no one drank at all. And I just wouldn't see it as a problem or becoming a problem until I got older, unfortunately. It was like after I got married and pregnant with my second that I started to think, okay, this isn't normal, or like this isn't sustainable. I couldn't rally the next day like I could when I was 21. I would have anywhere from 2 to sometimes even like 8 drinks when I went out and not think anything of it, because in my mind, I wasn't the only one doing that. Like, other people were drinking with me, or I would see other drunk people and feel validated, or people would do shots and I didn't. So I somehow equated that to being like less of a partier, or I wouldn't be wasted every time. I didn't really go out too much, so I couldn't have a problem if I'm chill at some events, right? It's just sometimes I get carried away. Like, oopsie. I didn't drink when I was pregnant with my second, like not even a sip of wine. I didn't drink with my first when I found out I was pregnant, but I was late to realizing, so I did technically drink at the beginning stages of that, which is scary to think about. But I was too nervous to the second time, and I thought being pregnant and not drinking and being fine about it somehow meant I was all right too. I know people who would drink alcohol when pregnant, and I hate even saying this out loud because a lot of these people are my friends, and I don't think there's really anything wrong with it, and I don't feel this way now, but this is what I thought then. I would think I was less of a problematic drinker because if there are people out there drinking while pregnant, but I wasn't, the consuming of alcohol didn't mean enough to me to take that risk. That must have meant I was in the clear of a drinking problem, right? So I thought, you know, after my eight month pregnancy break from alcohol, I thought I would be better at it, like better at drinking and like a little more tame. But first night out, 2 months after baby was born, I drank way too much at a birthday party and I threw up in my friend's car, like as an almost 30-year-old. I felt so embarrassed and just like the biggest fucking loser on the planet. Sorry, Brittany. I still feel really bad about that. But that was really the start of me thinking, okay, maybe I don't have a grip on this. I thought I was going to be different after a long break from drinking, but I'm not. That was the first time I started thinking, maybe it is me and not the alcohol, or not that I didn't eat enough, or now I know to avoid milk-based alcohol drinks, etc., etc., etc. It would be a lot of starting and stopping until I learned that life is just less messy and easier if I remove it altogether. But I had to like prove to myself with many experiments, unfortunately, that it wasn't ever going to change for me. This is a weird way my brain rationalized it, but I thought that if I stopped drinking, it was admitting I had a problem. And if I kept drinking, it would mean I didn't. I know that doesn't make any sense. I thought if I could just prove that I could go out and not be trashed every time, or if I'm not drinking every day, but only 2 out of the 7 days, that meant I didn't have a problem. I would set limits of drinks, types of alcohol I wouldn't touch, water consumption goals while drinking. I'd have like vitamins and drinks for the hangover the next day. So much thought and planning went into just trying to crack this code so I could drink like a normal person out with friends. I still don't like the terminology of drinking problem. Like, the reality is there are people in this world who are affected by alcohol more than others for a variety of reasons. Some of those reasons being that you have family members that are also problem drinkers. You suffer from PTSD, you have bipolar, depression, anxiety, and childhood trauma is a big one too. Unfortunately, like our brains are not the same as people who have not gone through traumatic experiences or have won that genetic drinking problem lottery. I notice now that I'm someone who doesn't really do things in moderation at all. Like, if I like a song, I listen to it over and over and over until I like get enough of it. Or snacks. I eat certain snacks I like until I'm sick of them. If I go somewhere, I'm always like the last one to leave. Like when I'm talking to people, I just don't want it to end. I go down rabbit holes of weird subjects and like listen to podcasts about them, buy books about it, watch documentaries about it. And I also notice my impulsiveness more now than I did. Like, I really felt it at Disney, like in the gift shops or walking by the snack carts. And I see now that I have the traits to be someone that might find it hard to moderate anything I really like, and alcohol would be no exception to that. Sometimes my family would express concerns about my drinking, which should have been a red flag to me, but it would be from people who did not drink, so it felt more to me like two lifestyles clashing and I was being judged. I would think like, they don't get it. Drinking or being drunk is fine sometimes and it's fun and it's funny, and who cares if you do and say stupid things? I want to have fun. I don't take life that seriously. I'm here for a good time, not a long time type mentality. And it really didn't register to me as an issue. The way my brain perceived it was they were alcoholics and had to stop drinking. I am not. And I hate that my brain thought that way. But I was in a really big defense mode. My family has a long history with alcohol problems, like for generations, and a good percentage of my family does not drink because of this, and many of them went through AA. So there is a lot of negative emotion around drinking in my life, and I grew up hearing alcoholics talked about in my family in such a negative way that I felt like a self-preservation reaction activate when the mention or thought of me being an alcoholic came up. I needed to separate myself from anything related to being that. Anyone who had issues with alcohol was judged and the topic of conversations at family parties, so it felt safer to continue to try and like figure out drinking and then giving it up, because if I gave it up, I was moved into the camp of people I have heard talked about so horribly my whole life, and I didn't want that for me. And I felt like, well, I raise a kid, he's a great kid, I have a husband, he's a great husband, I own a home, I have a job and a car, and like I would list off all the ways I didn't make the cut for what I thought in my head an alcoholic or problematic drinker was, like I couldn't be that. I thought also labeling myself that, it made me a bad mom. Like, my son already has divorced parents. I was a single mom at 21. There's already so much shame, and that I have to, like, wear around, like it's written on a freaking poster board sign that I'm just, like, holding up in the air. And then you add on alcoholic mother, like, my brain could not accept that for us. And I can't even tell you why my brain was like, no, we're fine. We'll just keep doing this and it'll be fine. It was only when I stopped and made the decision to remove it completely, I was able to realize how backwards my thinking had been. A part of me thinks I would make any and all excuses because my brain loved the high so much and associated the good, fun, drunk feeling with it, and it brought so much joy to me. Like, everything was better with a drink. The movies was better. Hanging out with friends was better. Walks around the neighborhood was better with a thermos. I really was afraid my life would be less than if I took away alcohol. Like, it would just be gray and boring if I took that away. Like, I had to defend it till the end. I also have friends and family who drink and had alcohol at family parties and would make light of drinking. Sometimes I wonder if I was around people who didn't think drinking was a big deal and didn't talk about it so poorly, would I have gone about the whole situation differently? Would I feel the same amount of shame and feeling like I'm a bad person if I drank? Last Christmas, or maybe it was the one before, one of my aunts and uncles were talking about an event they went to where my aunt drank a little too much, and they were talking about how my aunt is affected, or like her personality and emotions change with each glass of wine she drinks. And like everyone was laughing and having fun, and they just talked about it so unapologetically that it made me think, is mood changes and fights with your husband maybe normal and funny? Like, does fights with your spouse happen with everyone? But maybe other people aren't as sensitive as me and my husband. They made it out to be this silly, funny thing, but when I'm drunk fighting with my husband, it does not feel funny, like, at all. I would experience this a lot, and some friends would openly admit to me they were hungover and drank too much and laugh about it and laugh about funny things that happened, and it would make me think, well, maybe it is okay. Maybe I'm not a loser for being that way too sometimes. Because this person that I don't think is a loser, They get drunk sometimes, so maybe that's like me too. And I hope this isn't coming off as I think people who drink and get hungover are losers. I don't think that at all. I weirdly only thought that way about myself. And for some reason, I can get real nasty to myself post-drinking. I attempted quitting before, a couple times. I would stop drinking because of something that happened. I would either be so sick or so ashamed, or I would have a fight with my husband, or I would put myself in not safe situations and I would think, oh, I shouldn't drink anymore. I get in too much trouble. I don't want to ever experience this again. But after some time passed, I would forget all those feelings and I would seriously think I was like cured. Like I just needed a break. Clearly, I don't have a problem if I go months without drinking. Now I know better. Now I can go out and limit myself. Now I'll be on this drinking schedule. It's like I tried all the tips and tricks and I just kept failing. And sometimes I would go months, even a year without any issues. But then something would always end up happening at some point. I never knew when it was going to happen. I never planned or expected it to happen. It was always fine until it just abruptly wasn't. All those failed attempts ultimately led me to finally believe and accept that I don't think it will ever be different for me. I think this is just how I'm going to be forever. And then that's when I could make an actual change. It's like the previous attempts were an experiment. I had gotten my results, finally, and I just had to adjust my life. The pandemic is where things shifted for me, where I would have problems before when I would go out and at events, but then it shifted during this time to drinking at home. I was in the house with a 2-year-old and just kind of bored, and I would just drink at home. And it's sort of snowballed and it became every day. And the times that I would give myself would get earlier and earlier. And before I knew it, I was just like buzzing every day because why not? I was bored doing the same thing over and over. And that's kind of when the habits started to form. The first week of not drinking was not great. I don't want to lie to you. It was kind of bad. And breaking the habit was the hardest part for me. I didn't have withdrawals or shakes, but I did have some effects like irritability, sleeping horribly. Oh, I was way more anxious than I've ever been. And adjusting to not having a beverage was hard. So I would buy snacks because I would keep walking over to the fridge and opening it and looking in it like over and over. And I had a hard time watching TV without eating or drinking right away. Breaking habits is really hard. I've done it a few times for various things. And every time, no matter what it is I'm trying to adjust, it makes my brain hurt, like every time. But it wore off after a little bit. I just kept feeling better and better every day. So if you ever decide to take a break and you're like, wow, this sucks. I feel even worse than when I was drinking. Like, I promise, just give it 2 weeks and all the shitty side effects, they start to go away and you'll start to reap the benefits. Going to the first handful of events with no alcohol was absolutely my biggest hurdle. Events were sometimes the reason I would pick drinking back up again. Like, oh, I'll stop drinking, but I will drink at this upcoming wedding or my birthday or whatever was happening, and then I won't drink again. And as soon as I did start drinking again at that one event, I opened a can of worms and I would slowly build back up to drinking every night when the kids go to bed again. At those first couple events, alcohol consumed almost like all of my thoughts. I'd look at what everyone's drinking. I'd notice if someone didn't finish a drink, could never be me. Or I'd notice if people got more than like 3 drinks. I'd ask for mocktails so I was drinking something different than what I drink at home to make the event feel a little more special. And most importantly, feel like I'm drinking too. which I was a little nervous about that. I wanted it to seem like nothing changed. And there's a little debate about non-alcoholic beverages and if it's substituting will help you, but it definitely helped me in social situations. I don't really need it too much now. I might get a fun cocktail when I'm out, but like if there's one already like listed on the menu. But other than that, I just get like a Diet Coke or iced coffee now. But when I started my new job, I had a big company event and I actually stood in silence against the wall debating drinking in my head more than talking and like socializing with new coworkers because I felt so weird and awkward and didn't know anybody. And I was newly sober and it was a big drinking event, like trays of shots being passed around type event. And it was the first instance where I seriously debated drinking again. I thought, maybe I can drink this one time. The coworkers didn't know I wasn't drinking. I just met them that day. And no one at home would know I did. Not that it would really matter, but to me, it felt like it did in that moment. And my brain was almost telling me it wouldn't count. I also like started rationalizing why it was a good idea. I'll stop being such a weird freak against the wall. I'll feel less anxious. Because in that moment, I really was feeling probably the most anxious I ever have. I thought, well, maybe the break I have had the past 6 months was enough to change me and my drinking. But I remembered I have been here before. Every time I think I'm cured, I'm reminded I am not. And that my weird, quiet, freak way of being was unfortunately better than the alternative, which is weird, sloppy, freak, drunk Lauren with even less of a filter than I already have sober. So I didn't break it. I just asked for a grapefruit spritz drink on the menu and just powered through. But there are a couple scenarios like this. When I go to the office in NYC, we typically go out to eat. It always kind of like wraps up around like 7 or 8-ish and everyone goes out to drink and I just go back to my hotel. And I know how I used to think about people who didn't drink. So awful to say. I hate that I thought that way. But now when I leave early, I get weird and anxious and think, ugh, I am the sober one now. And if they are thinking what I might have thought of someone going home, that sucks. I may be perceived as boring or not social or not fun, personable, which reminds me of something I read recently about a lawsuit by an ex-employee. They sued their employer because they claimed they were being fired for not being fun enough. I guess they didn't attend happy hours or something, but being perceived as those things, boring, antisocial, although is not great and may affect my work life. I mean, it's better than what I would be perceived as if I kept drinking and got to that embarrassing state. And I just have to keep reminding myself of that when I get sad, which sucks. Like, I don't really have the option of ever being perceived as just like a normal, regular person. It's like either not cool or a hot mess, and I have to kind of like pick my poison. The thought of forever also can feel really overwhelming sometimes. I went to a gas station recently to get a Mary Lou's coffee, if you know, you know, and the inside had alcohol, which isn't really a trigger to me at this point anymore, but I saw a big display of Loverboys, which was my favorite beverage, and they had new flavors out, and I was genuinely sad that I would never know what those taste like or experience drinking those on the beach again. But I'm at a point now where I just can't shake the bad that comes with it. The bad parts for me are finally outweighing the good parts, and I never know if it's going to be an okay time or a bad time, and it's just not worth it to me to find out anymore. Even if that means I'll never taste the new Truly or Loverboy flavors. Now that I am out of the swirling spiral and can think a little more clearly, My brain now perceives it as kind of a threat, almost. I wish I could bottle the miracle mindset that makes you stick with giving it up, but I can't, unfortunately. The individual's mindset about drinking must change. Their belief of the good outweighing the bad has to shift. And unfortunately, shaming anyone isn't going to change it. In my case, it just made me more defensive and sneaky and want to prove that I don't have a problem. Quitting because you're shamed would be acting on someone else's belief, and it could work temporarily, but in my experience, not forever. But their own mind has to accept it and believe it. It will no longer serve them, and that getting rid of the bad parts are worth skipping out on the good parts of alcohol. And who knows if I will feel this way forever. As I get older and my kids leave the house, like, will I decide to drink again? I don't know. My dad and my grandfather were sober for majority of their lives, also due to problematic drinking, which is probably why I struggle so much with it. And they picked up substances again in their late 50s and 80s. So who knows what the future holds, but for now, it's off the tables in my eyes. And the thought of never drinking again doesn't really make me sad or mad anymore, because it kind of did at first. I talked to my oldest son about drinking. I told him how it runs in my family and how he is more susceptible to having a problem. I wish someone had explained that to me. Not sure if it would have made things different. I mean, it's hard to tell. But it would have been nice to know, even if so, I could maybe not feel like there's something wrong with me, like a personal character flaw. Instead, I could have like understood it was something I was dealt and I really can't change it. I don't know if that would have made my questioning phase a little shorter or would have helped me feel less shameful, because low self-esteem can also be a trigger for substance abuse. And I remember the first time I talked to my oldest about it, he said, "Wait, you've been drunk before?" And I was shocked that he like didn't understand that I had been. Like, he doesn't know what it looks like, or he can't really recognize it. It probably looks different in real life than what he sees in his school lessons about it, which must be confusing to get all these warnings and then like at school and then see adults you trust in real life doing those dangerous things the school's trying to warn you about. I feel like it plants a seed of, well, they do it, I might be able to do it too. He feels very strongly about smoking cigarettes, though. Like, whatever they're teaching and, like, marketing these days, I feel like it's working. He would, like, yell at people for smoking when he was younger. I hope he keeps that same energy into adulthood, but I'm really not confident in that. I'm so terrified about him drinking, like, I just don't know how it's going to go, and I don't even know how I'm going to react. We have a really good relationship, and he tells me, like, everything, even though sometimes I'm like, please don't tell me that. So I'm hoping to just keep that going and be that person who helps him in tricky situations, not shame him and cause him to hide it or go to his other drunk teen friends for help in tricky situations versus like his parent, which is what I did. I would just like stay out until I'm not drunk anymore, or like then come home when I was more sober, or like I would just like hide it or get into really like dangerous situations with friends. And I'm not looking forward to that. One nice thing about not drinking and having kids is I never have to worry where I left my drinks or the kids accidentally taking a sip of my drink. My oldest knew what drinks he couldn't drink, but it's not so clear with my youngest. One time at Thanksgiving when my son was like 5, we were all at the table and he reached for my cup instead of his and had the shock of his life. It was wine and not apple juice. And he thought it was so gross, And now something like that happening isn't even a thought in my mind. Like, anyone can take a sip of my drink if they want. I feel a lot better in general since not drinking. A lot of people ask me about weight loss, and I think I did lose a little weight, but not as much for it to be like a major factor. I also substituted drinking with snacking, so I feel like it just kept me sort of in the same place. I'm overall happier, more alert, and less anxious. I wouldn't have really considered myself too anxious before, but as time went on, from like 30 and up, I swear I gave myself anxiety when I drank consistently. Even if it wasn't like binge drinking, if just the nights that I would have like a Truly or a glass of wine for a few nights in a row. Like, I would wake up in the middle of the night and my heart would be pounding and I would be sweating, or sometimes even if I slept through the night, I would be anxious when I woke up or before I went to bed. And I learned that alcohol can induce panic because of its effect on GABA, a chemical that normally has a relaxing effect. Mild amounts of alcohol can stimulate GABA and cause feelings of relaxation, but heavy drinking can deplete GABA, causing increased tension and feelings of panic. And since stopping drinking, it's gone away. That really doesn't happen to me anymore at all. And I promise you, I tried everything to make it stop before I concluded that it was the alcohol causing it. I took up walking and yoga and stopped snacking before bed. I was doing breathing exercises and meditation apps and all the things that Google told me to do to manage stress. And I also started putting my phone away so I wouldn't text anyone or go on social media when I was drinking at night to avoid embarrassing messages or text. And I was thinking that would make me not be anxious and weird in the morning when I woke up, but that didn't work either. I think I knew I had to give up alcohol, but I just wasn't ready, so I would make excuses and try other things. Like, I was just really hoping it was something else, not that. So I went through this roundabout process of elimination and ultimately landed on alcohol being the cause of my awful new sleeping patterns. And yeah, since I stopped, I haven't woken up in a weird, sweaty panic since. I also feel like I was giving myself a bit of depression. I started feeling this very, like, who cares attitude about everything, and would have to really, like, peel myself out of bed. Just, like, wasn't eager to live the day. And it's hard functioning in that way. There's such a thing as alcohol-induced depression, and I don't know if I had it because it wasn't, like, super consistent. I would have, like, ups and downs, but it exists, and depression and alcohol abuse have strong links to each other. Both can be separate issues on their own, alone, but both are also gateways to having the other one, or if you have one of them, it will be made even worse by the combination of them. So now, since I haven't drank in over a year and my body is in homeostasis, so it's like a steady baseline, an equilibrium. And when I would drink, it would throw the balance off. I don't have all the smart science words for this, but all the highs you get from alcohol must be met with lows to offset those chemicals and reactions and bring you back to a neutral state. Like, what goes up must come down. And I was starting my day in the lows from balancing the highs the night before. And then the day would go on and it would fade a bit, and I would want to drink again that night because it felt good and it was fun. It was giving me highs after being low all day, and the cycle would repeat. But now that I am, like, off that sort of rat wheel, I am in a constant state of just, like, being and experiencing things as they are and as I feel, and I'm just more emotionally stable than I probably ever have been. It's made me just more stable overall as a person, which is nice for my family. You know, events would always make Jared, my husband, nervous and anxious, and I would go out, and sometimes it was fine. And I would come back and be like, see, I'm fine. Going out is fine. And other times I would come back or have to call him to come get me. And it was just so inconsistent. And he never knew how the night was going to go. And he would be snippy all day leading up to the event. And he would be pissed when I got home buzzed or trash. And we would fight. And I would wake up sometimes not even remembering it. But he was stone cold sober and would remember all of it. So it wasn't easy for him to brush off. And now we go places and it's just brought such a sense of peace to just like our house. We went on vacation, as I mentioned, and it was just comforting knowing I wasn't going to be drinking and like getting lost or missing ride times or hunting down huts with alcohol. Like, I was present with my kids, not off in like La La Land, and I will remember it all in totality, you know? I don't want to be a burden on my husband on vacation where there's already an element of unfamiliarity and he's got to wrangle in the kids and then also me. It's just not something I want to do to him anymore, because I did do that one vacation specifically. It was like an indoor water park and I was drinking too many tropical drinks and was like buzzing in the lazy river. My husband also doesn't drink and never has. He also has family history of alcohol issues and kind of just stayed clear. If I had a partner who drank while I was trying to quit, I honestly don't know if I could have made it last. Like, if I had someone at home drinking on the couch every night, I don't know if I would be able to, like, sit there and not do that too. I always wondered, like, if me and Jared drank in the same way, would there have been as many issues and fights between us, like, post and pre-events? I was reading that people who suffer from alcohol abuse have a 50% chance of divorce. And the number is greater if your partner and you don't drink in the same amount, like one is a heavy drinker and one isn't type thing, versus if you're like both heavy drinkers, you have like a better success rate. There was a study where they looked at all the divorces in Philadelphia over the past 100 years, and alcohol was a quarter of the reasoning for all the divorces. Man, I just want to shout out my husband, because I think back, like, he shouldn't have been put through that. Like, I can't even believe that I did and said some of the things that I did to him. He deserves so much more than those, like, shitty fights and situations I would put us in. And I read posts on my local mom's page all the time from moms venting or looking for ways out of marriages with alcoholic husbands. And the comments are so harsh and they're always like, leave him. And I'm in agreement. I feel like my husband should have left, and like I probably would have left someone so unstable. And when I asked him, like, why didn't you feel that way or like leave? He said something along the lines like, there was so much more good in our relationship than those bad moments. It felt worth it to stay and figure things out. And like in his case, the good outweighed the bad for him. And it wasn't like a constant issue. It would be like highs and lows. It would like flow. Like sometimes I would, and like it was just always a curveball. But either way, I'm just grateful for him never giving up on me. And I honestly couldn't see how bad I was affecting him and my family until closer to the end, and I knew I had to stop. I don't know why my brain couldn't see it, but I see it now, and drinking was like my way. Sorry, I'm getting a little emotional. But drinking was my way of like genuinely apologizing and making it up to him. Now we can like live this life better than before, and it feels really good. It feels like we both like deserve this life, and it's what we've been working towards since we met each other. Like, feels like we have like arrived at the destination. one thing I think a lot of people question or wonder why, like, your kids aren't enough to stop drinking or your family isn't enough. Like, how could I put myself and my family in these situations? And for me, I would never, like, intend to do it. Like, once I was drinking and had alcohol in me, my judgment and perception of things would flip. Like, I would not think I was that bad, even if I was. And I would not think there was a problem until the next day. And then I would feel awful. And that's when I would be able to think the way someone who doesn't have a problem would think, because I didn't have alcohol in my brain anymore, like, altering the way I think. And I would wake up the next day like, wow, I need to stop that. And would think, well, if I can take a break, then I'm sure I'm fine. And then I'd drink again because I thought I was all right. And then the cycle just went on and on and on. Alcohol really can negatively affect your brain. Harvard researchers did a study, and when comparing these questions and tasks that were a part of their study in combination with the MRI scans, they found that the amount of shrinkage in the hippocampus, the brain area associated with memory and reasoning, was related to the amount people drank. And those who drank 4 or more drinks a day had almost 6 times the risk of hippocampal shrinkage, while moderate drinkers still had, you know, 3 times the risk as non-drinkers. But the future isn't totally bleak. It can all be repaired, which made me feel really good to know. And like the brain, the liver can also repair itself. And I like to remind people who break their non-drinking streaks that it's not a total waste, because their body, like, they gave their body this gift of a break and allowed it to heal and repair. And yes, it can suck erasing that day count that you've built, but you can't erase the good you did for your body. So give yourself a high five for that work. You're still moving in the right direction. And even if you need to take breaks versus, like, a never drinking again approach, I think your body will thank you. And, like, any time not drinking is good for you. Like, it's time to be honored and celebrated. So make sure you do that. One other risk I feel like is worth noting here is that alcohol increases your risk of cancer. If you drink 3 drinks a day, your chances of getting cancer are doubled. When you drink alcohol, your body breaks it down into a chemical called, I might say this wrong, it's like one of the downfalls of reading everything and, like, not listening to things. But your body breaks down this chemical called acetaldehyde, and that damages your DNA and prevents your body from repairing the damage. DNA is the cell's, like, manual and controls cells, like, normal growth and function. So when it's damaged, a cell can begin growing out of control, and you can, like, manipulate your cells to create cancer tumors. And alcohol is linked with an increased risk of breast cancer in women. I don't know if this is really proven, but these are, like, some reasons that I read could attribute to it. And it's that estrogen levels in the body raise, which might explain some increased risks. But any way you cut it, any type of alcohol, any quality of alcohol contributes to a rise of risk in cancer. And the CDC and the WHO have, like, so much statistics on this. If you care enough to look into a little more, I would look those up because it was so fascinating to read. The things I still struggle with is friends and, like, trying to find things to do that doesn't involve alcohol. I'd be lying if I said my social life has not suffered from this and that I haven't lost friends over this. It was literally one of my biggest fears and a main reason why I held on to alcohol for so long, because, like, I didn't really know what else to do with friends besides, like, go out to eat and drink and stuff. Winter is just, like, an extra layer of tricky because I can't even go for walks or go to the beach. It's just, like, weird and gross out. It's kind of like my nightmare is happening, and I was worrying so much about losing friends, and it's, like, coming true. But Even so, I would take having a social life on life support over the shittiness I was living in before. And I haven't lost all my friends, but it definitely affected things. Like, I don't get as much invites as I think I would have before. And I don't see some friends as often because they want to, like, go out. And a lot of times people ask me if I mind if they drink when we're, like, out, which I do not at all. But I think it makes them uncomfortable or feel weird. Not so much me. So, like, why would they want to invite me out to a bar? I do also feel like I have less fun than I used to. I would look forward to events and doing things, and now I don't really as much. It brought me so much joy going out and getting dressed up and drinking and laughing with friends. And now I really don't have that as much anymore, which sucks. And then I'm trying to figure out things that could bring me as much joy as drinking, but I'm starting to think that's not going to happen. Like, those events were so fun to me because I think alcohol would bring me to, like, give me such a high, and I would look forward to that, and it was a false high. Like, it's not real, and I need to adjust my mind to knowing that those feelings are not real life. And although I did feel that way a little bit on the escape from Gringotts ride at Harry Potter World, I literally cried over overwhelming happiness and was just smiling the whole day drinking my frozen butter beer. But that's, like, too expensive of a substitution to a bottle of wine. Anyway, I hope this helps you. If you are sober curious, I would highly recommend listening to the Sober Powered podcast. It's a scientist who has all the words and explanations as to why we do the things we do when drinking and the effects on the body. I listened to that show before I was sober because I met someone through a marketing event and she started a podcast about being sober, and I listened to support, and listening to it really started to get my gears turning. I also downloaded the app I Am Sober, and they post meetings on there every week, and there's, like, little forums that you can comment in. But for me personally, I didn't find meetings helpful. I did try a couple out the first month I quit, but it put me in a worse mindset and brought my mood down, kind of. My story felt a little boring compared to others, and it made me feel too awkward to share my story and feelings, and I just didn't think it was good for me. But it could be a great resource for someone else, especially if you don't feel like you have anyone else to talk to. I feel like a meeting could be really great. Sometimes it's like, you don't need this horrific story to decide that alcohol doesn't serve you anymore. And I'm hoping for this to kind of shake up people's idea of what people with alcohol issues can look like and be like. Always feel free to message me. I look forward to hearing your thoughts and feelings. Like, as much as I do this so, you know, for other people to not feel weird, like, your messages make me feel less of, like, less weird as well. And it's just, like, a really nice feeling. I posted a poll today on my Facebook and asked what topic you want to listen to next week, and friendships won by 61% of the vote. So this area of my life is a real struggle for me, as I mentioned in this episode. I think I'll have to end up making, you know, friendships my New Year's resolution of some sort, but I'm going to delve into this and bring an episode on friendships in adulthood next Monday, March 13th. Thanks for being here, and thanks so much for sticking around. Even though I botched posting last week, your support means so much to me. It's the reason I'm doing this, and I hope you have a great week. Talk next Monday.